Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up, tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Someday I will cross that last river, and these eyes my last tears shall fill. Someday I will watch my last sunset, and I'll stand at the foot of that last long hill.
I'll be trading my cross for a resting place in a land where the river's running still. I'll be trading my cabin for a mansion in the sky on the day when I climb that last hill.
Someday I will walk my last valley, and I'll climb that last mountain so high, and I'll say goodbye for the last time, and I'll go to my home far beyond the sky.
I'll be trading my cross for a resting place in a land where the running still. I'll be trading my cabin for a mansion in the sky on the day when I climb that last hill. On the day when I climb that last hill.
I have been preaching on the subject of salvation and how the Apostle Paul saw the ways of salvation and tried to bring it in its simplest form. Yes, the Apostle Paul had a very clear revelation on what true salvation is. And when he found out what the true meaning of salvation was, he simply let go of everything else because he then realized that he wasn't a citizen of this world anymore, but he had become a citizen of the kingdom of God. And he started to seek out the kingdom of God in a way that challenges us all throughout the last 2,000 years, because the epistles of Paul are very, very challenging. It becomes very clear when you study the writings of the Apostle Paul and all the other apostles that whatever subject they touch and teach on, it is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and to further the kingdom, but also at the same time to set free the children of God who become born again. And this is what I have been trying to do in my ministry, is somehow set people free. Free from bondages, because there are many Christians who are into religion, who are being totally in bondage, when it comes to their salvation, they don't seem to be totally settled in it. When it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, many seem to think that these went out with the apostles. When it comes to whatever, whether it's marriage, whether it's walking in holiness, the main thing is to glorify God and to be set free so that you can minister the Lord Jesus Christ in a joy and a peace and a freedom that other people will notice in you. And this is what I believe we, the ministers of God, should be doing, with a main emphasis on setting people free from the bondage, from the bondages that are cleaving to them. And today I will teach on a subject and try to bring the freedom that the Apostle Paul teaches in a subject that is quite interesting. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for the grace of God. I pray that you will anoint this message. You will bless the listeners. Open the hearts of the people so that they can see and understand what you're trying to say to them. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul touches on a subject that we as the children of God need to take very serious, but we also have to understand that subject, and that is a marriage between a man and a woman. And when we look at the whole picture of marriage between a man and a woman, it is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being married to his bride, the church. And it gives some very interesting instructions. It tells us in verse 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." And many religious churches will really pounce on that one verse, that a woman has to be subject to her husband. And I heard one interesting testimony where a woman came to her preacher and told him that her husband was abusing her physically, and she could not take it anymore, that she will have to leave him. And the preacher said to that woman, "If it comes to the point where your husband kills you, it's going to be an honor to God because you were in subject unto him." Well, that is a total misrepresentation of the Word of God. And that pastor needs to study the Word of God or become born again, one of the two. I believe he needs to become born again, because no born again believer would make that statement. But it tells us in verse 21, before it tells the woman to be in subject to her husband, it says we should submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's the first command given by the Apostle Paul. And then he goes on and tells the wife to be in subject to the husband. I don't know why women have to be told that twice, but it seems like this is what the Apostle Paul is doing. For it tells us, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." So there is an order in marriage, in raising a family, and it's described here. We need to understand that the Apostle Paul didn't mean that as to give the husband a club to beat the wife, or to put the wife down, or to put her into a place where she is less in the marriage. But he is just giving us an outline in the way the Lord wants us to operate In verse 25, it tells us, "Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church, and give himself for it, that he might sanctify it, cleanse it, and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word." So this is what it amounts to. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to see a pure person, a pure marriage. He wants to see joy and glorification to the Lord God. This is what it amounts to when the Apostle Paul gives an instruction on the marriage. It's to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Other people will look on you and know that you're doing something right. In verse 25, it tells us, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." This is a tall order, because when a husband will love his wife as Christ loved the church, then the wife will automatically respect and be subject to the husband. It is a 1-2 thing. It's an automatic situation. Husband, love your wife. And the wife cannot help but be respectful and be subject to the husband. Because when a husband will love the wife, and it will bring an automatic respect towards the husband, and that will then bring a unity in a marriage where God will be glorified. This is how it will naturally come to pass. We who are married will understand that it has to work. But in a lot of cases, we do not operate in the way the Word of God teaches us to operate. And I have studied this over the year, and I have asked the Lord, why is it so hard to live with a woman and to love them all the time? Of course, when you got married, you loved your wife, but over the years, the feelings come, the feelings go. But that's beside the point. You still love your wife, because when things happen, your first reaction is, what happens to her? You are concerned. And the same thing goes for the woman. When something happens to the husband, her concern is right there. But what about living with one another? The Word of God gives us an outline, and then it leaves us to figure it out ourselves. So what do we do about it? First of all, we have to understand that God has a plan in a marriage situation. It's to raise children so that they will glorify God. But also, the plan is to bring the man and the woman unto himself. Far too many cases are where married people look unto one another for support. And support should be given. But in many cases, we cannot give that support that they are looking for. We cannot give it to our spouses, because it's only the Lord Jesus Christ that can give you that support that you're calling from deep within your heart for. And this is why I somehow believe God brought marriage on. It is to bring a situation into a man and a woman's lives where they are together but cannot somehow deal with it. So what do? In many cases, they divorce. We can see divorce cases, 50%, 60% in the churches. They just simply run away from one another. It's not going to work. We might as well give up. That was not the plan of God. The plan of God was to put the situation in your life where you do have a problem. But his idea was that you will not run away from it and from one another, but to turn to him for the answer. And here is what I am trying to bring across. If you are out there and you are facing a serious marriage situation, there are problems that you cannot fight yourself. You do not trust your wife or your husband with those problems because neither understand. You have to understand that it could have been the Lord who has brought this problem on, or it could have been you in your own foolish actions that brought that problem on. In any case, whoever brought the problem on, God allowed it. And the reason is to drive you to your knees. There are a lot of times when I have thought that God allowed the marriage situation between a man and a woman so that they will learn how to seek answers from God, because in many, many cases, we cannot find answers in our spouses. And the question a lot of times will be asked, why cannot we function together? Or why can we not agree with one another? Well, many studies have been done, and it has been found out that men and women think differently. And this is a whole new different message. But men and women think different from one another, and we need to understand that. But God, through His mercy, will bring us understanding if we will seek it through prayer and turning to Him for the answers. I have been married for 30 years now. And, you know, like all married people, I got married being in love with my wife. The feelings were there. But over the years, the feelings come and the feelings go. Billy Graham once made an interesting statement. He said, We never thought of divorce, but we have thought of murder. He was talking about himself and his wife. Now, that is pretty extreme, but Billy Graham was very honest, I think. So, how do you view yourself in that situation? Have you thought of divorce? Have you thought of leaving your husband or your wife? Or have you thought of maybe murder? Not really in a real sense, but the thought has crossed your mind. Well, as far as I'm concerned, all of these things have crossed my mind. But the Lord has shown me that these are not the way. You need to make a decision to come to the bottom of the problem. And the only way you do it is through searching it out through the Lord. And the Lord will open your heart to the answers that you need. Yes, after 30 years of marriage, I look back upon my life and I know I had a very interesting and challenging life. But it is becoming more and more to the point where I see the plan of God in it. And I can see the joy that is coming with the persevering that me and my wife did. Oh, we haven't reached our goal yet. We still do bicker. We still do argue with one another. But there is an understanding there. So where do you stand on this? Are you persevering in your marriage? Are you glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ? Are people looking to you for an example? Yes, the choice is ours. We have to make it. And God will make sure if we turn to Him that we will find the victory that we're looking for. Yes, Jesus is about to come back. He's coming back for a bride that is without spot or wrinkle. And the Bible teaches us very clearly here. It tells us that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And this is what the Lord promises to us if we will follow His instructions, because His instructions are always good. The Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
When the man of Galilee hung upon the cruel tree, he was dying for sinners like me. As the blood came dripping down from the cross onto the ground, there was one drop he shed just for me. Just for me and the sins of my soul, just to cleanse me and make me whole, there was pardon extended to me. As the blood came dripping down from the cross onto the ground, there was one drop he shed just for me. When they pierced his precious side, oh forgive them now, he cried, there was pardon extended to me. As the blood and water came, glory to his precious name, and that one drop he shed just for me. Just for me and the sins of my soul, just to cleanse me and make me whole, there was pardon extended to me. As the blood came dripping down from the cross onto the ground, there was one drop he shed just for me. I shall thank him for his grace, and that one drop he shed just for me. Just for me and the sins of my soul, just to cleanse me and make me whole, there was pardon extended to me. As the blood came dripping down from the cross onto the ground, there was one drop he shed just for me. There was one drop he shed just for me.
Over the years, when studying the Word of God, I have come to an interesting revelation that in many cases the Word of God will give you a vague outline and then kind of leave you. So how does one get to understand the specifics? How does one get to understand the detail of the subject? When we study the Word of God, we begin to realize that the Lord God has given us a way of finding out the details. He tells us very clearly in John chapter 16 that He will send the Comforter. He will send the Holy Spirit. He tells us in verse 13, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Many teachers would interpret that scripture as the Word of God is the Spirit of truth. No, the Word of God is the Word of God. And we all know for a fact that without the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, a person cannot understand the Word of God. Many people will twist the Word of God to their own understanding because the revelation of the true Spirit is not there. This is why we see so many cults out there. This is why we see so many divisions. Because instead of interpreting the Word of God with the Spirit of truth, many interpret the Word of God through the flesh. Let's take the example of marriage. When we watch how people operate, we can clearly see the different interpretations. We just have to check out what church background they come from. And we see the interpretation on how people operate in marriage. And when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit or to any subject of the Word of God, you can clearly see the different interpretations. The Apostle Peter talks about the epistles of Paul, how they are hard to understand, and many people wrestle with them in their own destruction because they do not have the Spirit of God. It tells us here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, As our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of all of these things in which are some hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So the Apostle Peter very clearly teaches us here that there are many people who will wrestle with scripture to their own destruction, and they wrestle with scripture in their own fleshy ideas instead of seeking the Holy Spirit. And to seek the Holy Spirit on his scripture sometimes takes years before the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the meaning of certain scriptures. So we have to understand that there is great power in the Word of God. But I have to emphasize, without the Spirit of God added to the Word of God is dead and can be very detrimental and harmful to those who study it. They can be led into many, many deceptive paths. For a person can make the Word of God speak what he wants it to. So this is the warning, and this is the wisdom I want to bring across today. Before you really get into the Word of God, make sure that you have the Spirit of God. And how do you get the Spirit of God? You get the Spirit of God by becoming born again through the power and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there is another ingredient that has to be added to this powerful weapon. There has to be a spirit of humility. Our own agendas have to come out of the way, and then God can start revealing these mysteries to us. And once he starts revealing them to us, we can, with wisdom, reveal them to other people. Yes, this is how the Spirit of God set it up, so that we can help one another, for he has given unto us apostles, prophets, and teachers for the edifying and the building up of the saints. So I want you to take a look at yourself. Where do you stand with this? Do you know that you know that you belong to God, first of all? And then once you know that, then you need to start seeking the will of God through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. The Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Glory, glory, hallelujah.